We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. Quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app, and now Keystone Sports Network on Spotify as well to stream all of our previous podcasts. All those are options are on the table now. I do recommend still getting the Keystone Sports app, because without that, we wouldn't have this Ask Greg segment. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We are taking your questions, Penn State football, Penn State recruiting. I see the word Kentucky Derby in the sheet of questions that we have now. The winner of this contest, Greg's going to pick the best question, gets a bottle of Tailgate Wine from tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. I love that line. They do wines and they do pairings with barbecue sauces and rubs. They have a blue and white wine gift box that you got to get for that Penn State fan in your life. And they are giving a bottle of wine to whoever asks the best question. You got to do the go to the Keystone Sports app, click the Ask Greg button, and fire away there. So we're going to start with David from Lakewood Ranch. Speaking of Kentucky Derby, says, now that the NFL draft is behind us, Greg, you can focus on the Kentucky Derby while the rest of us focus on the 2019 team. That makes it prediction time. A multifaceted question for you, Greg. All right. At the end of the 2019 season, which Penn State player will, number one, lead the team in rushing yards? Do you want all the questions first, or you want to go one at a time?
Let's go one at a time, because okay. I forget and get
confused.
Who's
going to lead the team in rushing yards?
Ricky Slade.
Agreed. This is an
answer. Well, that was great, yeah. We nailed that one.
But you know, all this Journey Brown talk, Noah Cain emerged as an option. You did say not that long ago you thought Journey Brown was gonna be the leader of this three-headed attack,
right,
in the backfield. Are you going back on that? Is Ricky Slade or did you never really say that?
No, I'm pretty sure that I did. The one thing that's come to mind over the last couple of weeks, the more I went back and read what we learned during the spring and what we saw in the spring game, is that Jalen Sider and James Franklin both know they're gonna need a back to be the guy in crunch time. And I guess it could be Journey Brown, but they just love to rely on guys that they've relied on before. And for, you know, fairly or unfairly, they've relied on Ricky Slade in game action more than they relied on Journey Brown. So I guess I'm starting to question my original thought, because it seems likely to me that Slade's going to get the first crack and he may just run with it and never look back. Literally.
Yeah, I think that he is he's the best option on the depth chart, and you'll see these other guys sprinkled in. All right, question number two, who's going to lead the team in receiving yards?
Yeah, good question here, because, I mean, you look across the field here, and you have an interesting mix of shorter guys and taller guys, older guys and younger guys. I mean, there's a number of different ways you can go here. KJ Hamler would be the easy pick. I'm going to go with Jahan Dotson. I mean, a guy that caught like 77% of his catches went for first downs last year indicates that he's a guy that can get open and get open over the middle of the field a lot and use his speed then to pick up some extra yardage. So maybe a shot in the dark here, because obviously Hamler is expected to be the main star, and you're going to have Justin Shorter, Daniel Court, George, Weston Carr. You're going to have a lot of guys to catch passes, which means the leading receiver probably won't break into four figures, I would assume. But I'm going to go with Jahan Dotson.
I don't think you can go wrong either way.
Yeah, you could pick just about any of them and have a shot.
I'd love to say KJ Hamler, but I'm still haunted by the Citrus Bowl and the fact that he went away for no good reason whatsoever. All right, and the third question, what's the name a la Mike Gesicki and Amani Oruwariye that will give Bob Flanders the most grief?
You know, I was looking at that question before we went on air, and I don't know what it is this year. There's not really one that jumps off the page to me. Is there one that jumps off the page to you?
I don't think so.
Because, you know.
I'll circle back. I'll pull up the roster and I'll see what could stump Flanders then. Do you have – this is part of David's question as well. Do you have an early Kentucky Derby pick?
I love game winner, but it all depends on the post draw.
All depends on the post draw, which is what, Wednesday, right?
I believe so.
Okay. So to be determined there, David. Maybe try to ask a few more questions within your one question. Brian from Miami. If Tommy Stevens would have transferred last spring, do you think James Franklin would have gone all out to get Justin Fields in December? Or do you think he would have stayed with Sean Clifford and Will Levis? If you want to be quote unquote elite and win national championships, you need to have a quarterback like Justin Fields. Keep up the good work.
I mean, Justin Fields didn't necessarily light the world on fire during Ohio State spring practice. And is it possible that we know less about Justin Fields as a FBS quarterback than we know about Tommy Stevens? No. Obviously Fields got some rundown at Georgia before leaving, but if he couldn't beat out Jake Fromm, I just, at some point, again, guys transfer because they can't win the starting job over whoever else is on the roster. And if they can't beat out that guy, why are they just going to suddenly be the hottest of hot commodities somewhere else or expected to be? So as it relates to the actual question, though, no, I don't think Penn State would have went and got Justin Fields. And even if they would have wanted to, I don't think Justin Fields had any interest in coming to Penn State.
Well, quarterback more so than other positions, and certainly a lot of positions are like this. Once you're in, it doesn't matter what your star rating was.
Right.
Once you're a year in a lot of cases, I don't care whether you were a five-star or not. You're not necessarily better, especially whenever the message that you send to your team, to your quarterback depth chart, you're going to bring in a quick fix at the expense of guys that you developed a relationship with who never decommitted on you. I think there are certain ripple effects to bring in a Justin Fields. Like, you better be more desperate than what Penn State is to have brought in a guy like Justin Fields.
Right.
And I think that they felt strongly about Sean Clifford really from the moment he got there. But certainly those feelings grew over time. And I don't think they would have done something that would have then caused Sean Clifford to transfer. In all likelihood. So, yeah, I mean, it's fair to wonder, but I very much disagree with the if you want to be elite and win national championships, you have to have a quarterback like Justin Fields, because a lot of five-star quarterbacks are not five-star players.
Right.
And, you know, in Penn State's case, they've done very, very well at turning three-star recruits into five-star players. So – I don't know. I think my hunch is the original question, Sean Clifford and Will Levis. It wouldn't have been ideal, but I don't think you would have. Screwed those guys, for lack of better words.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And again, just to wrap this conversation up, every program has a Tommy Stevens somewhere.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is every program has a guy that believes he has done something or has been loyal or whatever to earn the right to start. And when you tell that guy that he's not going to get to earn that chance, or he's going to have to earn the chance to start instead of it being given to him like he thinks it's supposed to, because you're bringing in a guy to transfer, that can create its own set of problems.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation to manage no matter what. All right, this is Ask Greg on the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by tailgatewine.com. We're fielding your Penn State football questions now. If you didn't know before, if you download the Keystone Sports app, you can get all of our great content there, of course. But there's also buttons for Ask Greg and Ask Ross. If you want to ask a roster-type question or a recruiting-type question or really a life-type question, use Ask Greg. If you want to talk about daddy sodas and stuff like that, click the Ask Ross button and throw him a question. Andy from Falls Church, Virginia. How many Penn State players do you think will enter the transfer portal next year? Of those, what percent will be players who contributed significantly? I think the context of the question is fair. I don't know about asking for a specific number, but I think if you look at, you know, how big of a problem, so to speak, will the portal be next year?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Post draw Tuesday, by the way, for the Kentucky Derby. So that's coming up a little bit sooner than we thought.
Greg never stops working for you.
I was just checking to be sure. Then you have 4 days to figure out how you're going to mess up all your budgets that you had so perfectly planned before Saturday. I know a thing or two about that.
That's the real Ask Greg question.
Yeah, no question.
How much of your ass are you going to lose at the Kentucky Derby on Saturday? That's the question.
I believe the word you're looking for is quite. yeah, so what was it? Over 10 guys in the transfer portal this year. I can't remember the exact number with guys going in and out. Obviously, you know, Cam Sullivan, Brown, Lamont Wade all came back. Tommy Stevens, some others left. Juwan Johnson comes immediately to mind. I mean, I think every year you're going to have to expect that you're going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 to 11 guys explore the transfer portal. Now, it really, though, I think it will change and go up and down based on how many guys are able to graduate in time. You know, so they'd have to graduate by the winter semester to be able to move as a graduate, or Belichick moves to graduate before their new team starts spring practice, or they have to wait until they graduate in the following spring to then graduate, transfer, and go into summer. I think you're going to see – you'll always have some guys who just transfer, like an Isaiah Humphreys who just didn't want to go to Penn State, didn't like it, but obviously, you know, he wanted to move out west. Cal's a little bit more like where he's from in Texas, so on and so forth, so he went ahead and did that. I think you'll see guys still do that in a normal number, you know, two or three each season, but I think your transfer portal stuff's really going to come down to how many guys are graduate and not playing as much as they want to. Penn State had an abnormal high number this year, one of the highest in FBS football. It's quite possible that that number is the lowest next year of FBS football teams. It just really depends where guys are at academically and where they're at on the field. And sometimes I think that's going to cause a perfect storm, like it maybe did this past year of guys leaving. Other years, I think you're going to be a bit safer.
So I think welcomes get worn out on both sides. I think you know, if guys aren't progressing to where they where to the point where they're getting the roles that they feel like they want or feel like they deserve, that happens. And the other thing is, I don't think it can be said too much that Penn State seems to prioritize getting guys their diplomas earlier than other programs. And if Penn State is really going to do that, they're going to have guys who are going to be in position to grad transfer more so than the average program. So I don't think it's an indictment of Penn State's program that they get more transfers out than others. I think it's just going to be kind of that's just going to be how it happens. One more question, then we'll get a winner here. Heather from Akron, Ohio. While losing Tommy will likely hurt this season, is it possible that the news is the best thing for Penn State in 2020 and beyond? The ceiling this year may be limited, but with the talent returning in 2020, you get Ohio State at home. Michigan without Shea Patterson, a second-year starter with Sean Clifford. She believes there could be a legitimate playoff push in the works.
Yeah, this is a really interesting question. It might just be the winner this week. We'll have to wait and see. But the one thing that really jumps out to me is that there were a lot of fans that thought, oh, 2019 is the year for Penn State. That's going to be the year that all the pieces come together. And now the conversation has already shifted to 2020. Well, what happens when that doesn't work out? Then you're into 2021. I do agree with the idea, though, that having Sean Clifford get an extra year of playing experience that we didn't expect him to get, it can't hurt. But what if he doesn't turn out to be the player we thought he was going to be? Then it's not going to help. So there's some validity to the idea, but I think for Penn State to get in that direction, it has to continue recruiting well. And quite frankly, it just has to beat the best teams on its schedule, home, away, or otherwise. You can't wait until you get Ohio State and Michigan at home and hope that those are the ones that you can just go win. And even when you do that, you might not go win them. So it's hard to say.
Best question of the week.
Heather's, the most recent one that came in. Last is best.
Heather from Akron, we got a bottle of tailgate wine coming your way from our friends at tailgatewine.com. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in with questions and for tuning in this week. We'll see you next time.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.